Yesterday we had a family day. Went over to the Jimmy Floyd Center there in Lebanon, and got to play in some basketball with some boys from Smith County. They're about 16 years old. Here I am, even though I'm 32, I was coming up those steps and saying, "Boy, I'm feeling today." I tell you what, I was saying this morning when I was getting up out of bed and walking around all those things, I'm 32, almost 33. Already can't wait for that resurrection body. How bad will I want it when I'm 70? You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all saying, "Amen, brother." I'm telling you, amen. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the goodness of Christ who made us, who never gave up on us, who came to this earth, took on flesh, human flesh, weak flesh, lived a life that we cannot live, and then died a death, a horrible death on the cross, Father, a death that should have been reserved for us, that we have earned, that we've deserved, that He never deserved nor earned. Father, then 3 days later, after He died, He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and even right now He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, but He's coming back. He will not be on that throne forever in heaven. His throne will move down here on earth, God. His throne will be on the earth. And Father, I praise you and look forward for that day when Christ comes as the lightning in the sky to set up His kingdom on this earth. Father, in the words of the old saints who said, "Maranatha," which means "come quickly," we say, "Maranatha, Lord Jesus." It's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, as you well know, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the night that He was handed over to the Jewish officials and then the Roman authorities to be crucified, Jesus had one final Passover meal with His disciples. For the Jew, the Passover meal was the crowning festival, right? It was the biggest festival. Everyone came to Jerusalem for Passover. It was one of the most important rituals that remembered when Israel was in slavery in Egypt. When God, on that night, the last night before Israel was released, when God sent death on the firstborn of all in Egypt, except for those Israelites who sprinkled the blood of a lamb on their doorpost. God passed over those homes, and the firstborn in those homes were safe that night. And immediately after that plague, if you remember, the Pharaoh sent them out. He released Israel from slavery, sent them out, and every year Israel celebrated that night with a Passover feast. And on the eve of Jesus' crucifixion, He celebrated that meal one last time. But as you well know, He did not just celebrate Passover, He instituted a new celebration. In fact, it's the celebration that you have set before you this morning called the Lord's Supper. You see, in that last Passover, the meal, it had several elements to it. In fact, in March, I'm planning a service up in Smithville, several churches. We as West Main Baptist Church are putting it together. I'm putting it together, organizing it, but we'll have it up at First Baptist Church in Smithville, where we'll have a Messianic Jew come lead us in a Seder service, a Passover service, with the picture of Christ pointing us to Jesus in the Passover. But the Passover had several elements to it, but Jesus focused in on the bread of that meal, and He focused in on the wine of that meal, that Passover meal. Look with me just quickly, Luke chapter 22. Turn to Luke 22. It'll not be our main text this morning, but I want you to see this. Again, all the other elements of the Passover meal, Jesus sort of just let go. But He focused in on two elements, the bread and the wine. Look at Luke 22, verse 19. Luke 22, verse 19. This is in the course of the Passover meal. He took elements of the Passover and He gave it new life. He breathed new life into it, a new ceremony, a new meal, a new ritual. Look at verse 19. And when He, that's Jesus, had taken some bread and had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, that's his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So in other words, take this bread, break it, divide it amongst yourselves, and eat it. Do this in remembrance of me. And then look at the next verse, verse 20. "And in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" As you think about the cup with that red, dark red juice in it, that grape juice, that red grape juice in it, and how it symbolizes and pictures the blood of Christ, which was poured out for us. Jesus says, "Eat that, drink that in remembrance of me." You know, Jesus had come to fulfill the Father's mission that he had been sent on, and he who had lived a sinless life would do that very thing on the very next day. Over the next few days, he would be crucified and die, be buried, and then rise again. And so today, as we take the Lord's Supper, we certainly want to remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. You don't want to miss out on that. But also we want to remember one other thing. Look in here in Luke chapter 22. Just before Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, I want you to see what he says. He provides us with something else to remember. Namely this, that he is coming again. He's going to return. Look at Luke 22, 14 through 18. Luke 22, 14 through 18. "When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, 'I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes.'" So did you catch that in there? Did you catch Jesus pointing us to his second coming? He will not eat bread like this until the kingdom of God is fulfilled, he said. He would not drink wine like this from then on until the kingdom of God has come. That's pointing us to the second coming of Christ. And that's what I want to focus on this morning as we prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's Supper. As you partake of the bread and wine before you this morning, remembering Jesus, remember that Jesus is coming again. One of the preeminent texts, as we think about in the Scripture, on Jesus' second coming was delivered to us by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24. So let's turn to Matthew 24. That'll be our text. And from this text, I want you to notice five things about the second coming of Christ that should be at the forefront of your mind as you eat and drink this morning. Five things from Matthew chapter 24 that should be at the forefront of your mind as you eat and drink this morning concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. So here we are. Let's go to verse 27. Matthew 24, 27 through 44. And I'll read it. We'll read it together. You can just stay seated this morning. Verse 27. "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. So five things from that text this morning that I want to point out to you to keep in mind as you celebrate the Lord's Supper this morning. First, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, be reminded that Jesus' second coming is settled. It's settled. If you look at this text here, Jesus does not say that this might happen. There's no question. He doesn't offer it as one hypothesis, one plan among many. It's settled. You can count on it. Jesus is coming again. It's certainly going to happen. There are a lot of things in life that are uncertain. Many, many things that are uncertain. One of the things that you know for certain in your life is that you're going to die. Right? We are certain. I'm certain I'm going to die someday. But I don't know when that day is. Right? See, my death is settled, but it's just not, I'm just not sure exactly when it's going to be. I'm certain it's going to happen. I'm just not certain when it's going to be. It's the same thing with Jesus' second coming. It is settled. Those that mock you, those that think you're crazy for looking to Jesus, just know this. Scoffers in Noah's day said the same thing. Man, where's this rain that's coming? What's going on? I mean, why are you building this big boat, Noah? Noah knew the day was coming. He just didn't know when the rain was going to start. And I say to you this morning, Jesus Christ, His second coming is settled. It's going to happen. It's certain. We're just not sure exactly when. Look at verse 35 to show you the certainty of Jesus' coming back. The settledness, the fact that it's settled. Verse 35. Here in Matthew chapter 24 says this. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. This is Jesus. But my words will not pass away. In other words, the veracity of Jesus, His truthfulness is banked upon the fact that He's going to come again. Jesus does not lie. It is settled. He's coming again. Secondly, this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I want you to be reminded that Jesus' second coming is soon. It's not only settled, but it's soon. Look at verse 34. Verse 34 says this, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Right, that's soon, that felt soon. Now, that word generation there, and that whole sentence can be a little bit confusing because it seems at first glance that Jesus is talking about the generation that He's speaking to right there. In other words, it seems like Jesus is saying, you apostles and disciples will not die until everything I'm saying here in chapter 24 is finished. But I don't think that's what He's talking about. When He's talking about this generation, I believe that He's talking about the generation that's alive to see the signs right before Jesus returns. Look again at verse 34 here. Actually, look at verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that He is near, right at the door. In other words, the generation that sees the shoot, right? The shoot that's talking about here, the branch putting forth its tender leaves. The generation that sees the signs that are pointing to the nearness of Christ, that generation will not die until everything is accomplished. In other words, it's going to come quickly when it does come. And what are those signs? What are the signs that Jesus Christ is coming? Well, if you look back earlier in this chapter, it's signs like false Christs. People claiming to be the Messiah that are not the Messiah. The Bible says that some of the signs are wars and rumors of wars. Nations against nations, kings against kings, famines, earthquakes, tribulation, martyrdom, the world hating Christians, false prophets, lawlessness increasing, people's love for God growing cold. Now, as I ask you that, as I read off that list there of the signs of Jesus' coming quickly, coming soon, does it sound to you like He's coming soon? I mean, as I look in the world today, you see all those things. And it seems like even in my own lifetime, they are increasing. They're increasing, it seems like. But let me say this also. Every generation thought that Jesus was coming in their generation. Those of you who had Christian parents who are already dead and with the Lord, how many of them thought that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime? I bet they all did, right? I think that God does it this way. God designed it this way, where every generation is on the edge of the seat, where we're on the edge of that cliff when Christ is about to come back. He wants us to be ready at all times because it's soon. It's soon. It's soon. Know this, we are at least one more generation closer to the one that Jesus is talking about in verse 34. That generation that would not pass away until the entire thing is complete. And it very well could be this generation right here. He's coming soon. Third, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, I want you to remember, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, be reminded that Jesus' second coming is sudden. It's settled, it's soon, and it's sudden. It's sudden. Look at verse 27. Verse 27, "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." I know there's not a lot of thunderstorms this time of year, but coming up here in the spring, there are going to be a lot. And you see those big lightning flashes across the sky. How quickly do they come? Quicker than that, don't they? Quicker than the snap of your finger. Quicker than the blink of an eye, even. It's going to come quickly, like lightning comes from the east. Jesus will come that quickly. Look at verse 36. "But of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." The day and hour, no one knows when it's going to be. I know this past December, we had some more kooks. Even kooks who are claim the name of Christ, saying that Christ is going to come back on this certain day. I forget the guy's name who always is making those predictions. And he comes with the day and hour and all those things. But listen to me. Know this, that when someone makes a prediction that Christ is coming back on this day, know that that's the day He ain't going to come, right? No one knows the day or hour. No one does. No one knows. Only the Father knows that day and hour. And when it comes, it's going to come quickly. In other words, think about this. It's so sudden that we can't see it from afar off. If a turtle was coming at me, I'd probably see him, right? I mean, he starts in the door there, and he's coming down the aisle, and about 30 minutes later, maybe, he'll be up here. I could see him coming. I'm ready. A turtle is not sudden. But if a cheetah were to burst through the door in full stride, guess what? He'd be on me before I could move. The Bible says that Christ is coming quickly. He'll be sudden. Look at verse 42 through 44. "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready." In other words, you will not have time when Christ comes to get ready. you must be ready before He comes, because He will come suddenly. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. Fourth, this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I pray that you would be reminded that Jesus' second coming is seismic. It's seismic. It's settled. It's soon. It's sudden. And it's seismic. When I think of seismic, I think of catastrophic worldwide event, right? That's what it's going to be when Christ comes back. It'll be a worldwide return. And it'll be catastrophic. Look at verse 29 and 30. Seismic, like an earthquake. A worldwide, you know, size 10 on the Richter scale earthquake. Verse 29 and 30. Notice the catastrophic imagery here. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all of the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. You go through the book of Revelation there, and you see when Christ comes back, it'll be catastrophic, it'll be seismic. Look at you've got heavenly hosts falling, the sun not giving light, and the moon not giving light, and stars falling. When Christ comes, the end is there. It's there. It's the end. It'll be seismic. And then finally this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, be reminded that Jesus' second coming is sealing. It's sealing. S-E-A-L-I-N-G. Sealing. Sealing. Look at verse 31. In other words, our fate at that point, heaven or hell, will be sealed. Verse 31, and He will send forth His angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. That's what's going to happen to God's people. His elect, God's children, the bride of Christ. But what will happen to the others? That fate's sealed. What about the others? Well, you go down to verse 37 for what happens to the others. Verse 37 through 41. For the coming of the Son of Man will be like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So the coming of the Son of Man will be. There will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. The fate of those coming will be like those in Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 and chapter 9. Those who are not with Christ at His coming will be caught up in the flood of Christ's return and be swept away to death, to judgment. While Jesus is elect, while God's elect are being caught up in the air with Jesus, everyone else is taken away by the flood of God's wrath. Fates will be sealed at that point. I know there are many who think that the church is taken away and then there's 7 years for someone else to trust Christ. I don't see that in the Bible. When Christ comes back for His church, He comes with His kingdom, and there are no other chances. Everyone who is not with Christ when He returns is swept away to death. So what does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Where are you this morning? I want to read to you a hymn in closing. Sort of strange how the Holy Spirit works. I love how the Holy Spirit works. Brother Ray came in this morning. He said, man, somebody ought to stand and read hymn number 195 this morning. I said, well, what's it about? And he told me, I said, man, I'm preaching on the second coming of Christ. And that's what this is all about. I love how the Holy Spirit works. So I'm going to stand and read it this morning. I believe that was of God. It's called, What If It Were Today? Listen to this. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim His chosen bride. All the redeemed and purified. Over the whole earth scattered wide. What if it were today? Satan's dominion will then be o'er. Oh, that it were today. Sorrow and sighing shall be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise, caught up to meet Him in the skies. When shall these glories meet our eyes? What if it were today? Faithful and true, would He find us here if He should come today? Watching in gladness and not in fear if He should come today? Signs of His coming multiply. Morning light breaks in eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown Him King. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. And my question to you this morning as you partake of the Lord's Supper, are you ready? When He comes, there are no other opportunities. He comes bringing in the end of the age. I pray this morning you would be ready.